Welcome to the Gay Amish Podcast. I am your hostess with the mostess, James Swartz, author of The Literary Party, Growing Up Gay and Amish in America, available on Amazon Kindle. Each episode, I will be discussing a topic relevant to Amish, LGBTQ Amish, and the Anabaptist diaspora at large. Join me. Wie bist du? Welcome to the Gay Amish Podcast. I am your hostess with the mostess, James Swartz. So, first of all, I would like to take a moment and thank everyone that has tuned in to this podcast. I have been overwhelmed and overjoyed that this podcast has gotten the response that it has. I am so grateful, and it is such an honor to be able to hold space with you and to discuss Amish topics, issues for the LGBTQ Amish community, which, as you may or may not know, we do not have a seat at any table. So, one of the topics that I wanted to go into, at least to start off with, was the controversy behind the novel American Dirt. If you're unfamiliar, hashtag American Dirt. The brouhaha is about a non-Hispanic writer writing about the border crisis. There's a lot of parallels between this and Amish fiction, Amish Christian fiction, bonnet rippers, Amish romance novels. Again, this going back to an earlier episode, if we Amish go into a bookstore, we're going to find a lot of books written about us by non-Amish writers, usually with a political or a conservative, religious, evangelical agenda. But we're not going to find any books written by us. American literature, really, there's really nothing on the Amish. I mean, I think Mennonites may be mentioned in To Kill a Mockingbird and Catch 22, but, you know, actual Amish writers, Amish poets, we're not allowed to be, you know, secular writers. We're not allowed to be secular poets or musicians or artists or painters, you know. Everything is filtered through the church. And, you know, Amish are big readers. I grew up reading books, and I grew up reading unsupervised, which apparently is not the norm. I guess in most cases, you know, your reading is supervised by your parents or possibly your bishop. I mean, if you're Amish, you are probably encouraged to read the Bible, Bible stories. A lot of Amish read The Martyr Mirrors, which is a book about the early Anabaptist martyrs who were persecuted and tortured by the Catholic Church. As were gay people, which is ironic because the early Anabaptists, what we today call the Amish, came to America, colonized stolen Native American land, contributed to Native American genocide. Today the Amish live on stolen Native American land. And today, the Amish church does its own persecutions. they persecute their own. They persecute gay people. And the attitude of the bishops is, well, you know, you're not praying hard enough, right? There's just a real denial of you know, gay people within the Amish, and this has led to a lot of incidents. It has led to suicides. It has led to unbelievable persecution. Personally, I have a friend who was, you know, born and raised Amish, older Amish, and he was pressured into getting married and having a family, which he did, and he came out as gay because he wanted to live honestly. He wanted to live with authenticity, and he wanted integrity. The response from the church was to shun him, to excommunicate him. He was separated from his wife and not in contact with his children. And, you know, the church really put him through the ringer. And, you know, I feel so sad to have to say this, but, you know, the Amish church really is not functioning the way it should, because all churches, including the Mennonites, have had to update their beliefs every so often so that they could, you know, so that they were relevant to society, so that they were relevant with the times today. And as you know, the Amish church cuts off the outside world, which makes it unique because they're not seeking to engage with the outside world. And as a result, you know, the evangelicals and other extreme right-wing conservative churches, you know, it's like a contest who can convert as many ex-Amish to their church or religion that they can. And it's unfortunate because a lot of, well, actually all of the other churches, like the evangelicals, their teachings are so different from the early Anabaptists. And they didn't necessarily, the early Anabaptists didn't really view things from a fundamentalist point of view. In fact, they engaged with the outside world. I mean, their main issue was about adult baptism versus infant baptism, which is, of course, the Catholic Church. But after they came to America, you know, they set up their own rules, church rules, and more church rules, and they voted, you know, not to, you know, against electricity, against vehicles, against things like television. And the reasoning behind this was these things, you know, it's not so much that they're evil, which is what some right-wing, you know, churches teach, is, you know, like society is evil. It was just that these things contributed to spending less time with your family. And so, you know, now we have the internet, and a lot of Amish have smartphones, cell phones, and they're online for business purposes, or they have, you know, social media accounts. I mean, it's kind of a game changer because our society is moving, you know, our society is more dependent upon technology than it ever has been, and it will continue to do so. I mean, the Amish today, I mean, farming is sort of a luxury. Like, if you don't come from if you don't come from an Amish family with some money, and they're not able to buy their children farms the way they used to. I mean, the Amish that I know, especially growing up, I mean, there's farmers, but there's construction workers, and a lot of Amish worked in factories. And when they're working in factories, you know, their bosses are gay. Their coworkers are gay or lesbian or transgender or whatever. And, you know, it's kind of a non-issue. Like, whether the church acknowledges it or not, you know, Amish people have moved with outside society. You know, they have progressed in some ways. And there's also pushback, you know, from the real conservative factions within the church. So there was an incident some years ago where an Amish man had an addiction issue, which is not uncommon, especially in Northern Indiana, Southern Michigan, probably Ohio and elsewhere. But, you know, it's the whole trailer factory work, you know. A lot of people use methamphetamines. It boosts their job productivity. And some Amish got caught up in that and, yeah, had addiction issues. And when they went to get help for said issues, the response is basically, you just need to pray more. You know, you need to pray harder. And this does not work. This does not work for the Amish person, because he's not actually, his addictions are not actually being taken seriously. If they were, you know, the answer wouldn't be to pray more, because prayer could be part of, you know, healing, but to, you know, to address addiction issues, you actually have to address the issues, which just, you know, praying is not going to solve anything. So, I mean, the Amish church today is changing. Like, a lot of Amish have cell phones. They're all connected. And because they're connected, they're able to hear voices from other Amish, whether it's through podcasts or, you know, discovering their books or whatever. And that's kind of a game changer, because it's something new. And there's some dialogue, you know, about the direction of the church and how increasingly irrelevant it's becoming. I've heard Amish people talk about, you know, the Amish is on the verge of a collapse. And one of the things that comes to my mind is climate change. And the Amish originally were from rural Europe, whether it's like my family from Switzerland and France, or, you know, Germany, Netherlands. And they were a part of the land. They were stewards of this land. So, yes, they crossed an ocean to come to America, but they're separated from their homelands. And this has led to dysfunction and trauma, ancestral trauma, historical trauma. And the isolation from mainstream society has been more harmful than helpful. I'm sure some Amish bishop would argue this point with me, but it's quite true. And as time goes on, there's going to be more and more dysfunction. So, to touch on the American dirt controversy, Amish don't have a full grasp of their own history because they're getting information from people who are non-Amish about the church as opposed to an authentic history. And American dirt reminds us that this isn't about limiting someone's imagination. You know, if you want to write about another culture that's not your own, feel free. Creativity and imagination, these are wonderful things. But if you're going to write about another culture, especially one that's not your own, first of all, you want to ask yourself why. And you're going to want to write about that culture with a sense of responsibility, with a sense of honoring that culture, with authenticity and integrity. And that has not been the case when it comes to things like Amish Christian fiction or, you know, bonnet rippers. These, you know, take the word Amish away and replace it with evangelical, and then you have some authenticity. So, and further, you know, the evangelical movement in America is very different than Anabaptists. You know, the early Anabaptists were engaged with society. They were intellectual. They were very well read. And that changed once, you know, they came to America, and their world, you know, became within, not without, or outside. And yeah, it's led to a lot of dysfunction and a lot of writers, portraying the Amish in a inauthentic way, and Amish readers reading this and just accepting this, you know, as a truth. Like, there's been some people writing about the Amish who say that if you leave the Amish church, you're not Amish. That's like saying that a Native American who leaves his tribe is not Native American. Because, I mean, the Amish, I mean, it's not just a religion, it's also your ethnic identity. And I think that has gotten overlooked, I guess. But, you know, if you're born Amish, you're Amish, whether you leave the church or not. It's not just about the religion, but yeah, it's about your racial identity. And again, you know, the Amish are separated by an ocean from their homelands. And, you know, there's no guarantee that the Amish are going to stay in America long term. For example, Amish experimental communities have been attempted in a few places like South America. And, you know, a lot of times they haven't worked. But South America, Mexico, Canada. I believe there's Amish now on Prince Edward Island, which is, probably a sign of the future. In my opinion, the Amish should go back to Europe, to rural Europe, whether it's Switzerland and France and the Netherlands or whatever. But they may not. They may, I mean, for all we know, the Amish can end up in like Asia. but they need good farmland, and they need to be, the Amish need to steward their own homelands, in my opinion. Like, the politics of today are not the politics of the 1800s. So there's no reason why they can't reestablish themselves in Europe. And I think they would actually probably function better in Europe than here in America. Because there's just this continuously, like, this growing disconnect between Amish and, mainstream American society. And, we're coming to a point in time where farming is not necessarily sustainable, and that is what the Amish have always depended upon for their livelihood. So there's a lot up in the air right now in terms of the future direction of the Amish church. My great 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 grandfather crossed an ocean to come to America. Being someone that has also crossed an ocean to live in a new land, I can identify with my ancestors, and I choose to honor my ancestors by, the Amish church for me does not serve me in any way. However, to reconnect to my Anabaptist ancestors and what they believed, the early Anabaptists were, radicals. They were rabble-rousers. They were revolutionaries. And today, it's quite the opposite. Amish are intellectually stagnant, Non-engagement with the outside world has proven to be very, unhealthy for them. And again, this kind of goes back to church teachings about, well, your dress has to be this length. Your beard has to be this length. You must have this style of buggy. You must, have this. You must do that. And it's too much. And it's, unnecessary. It's the whims of others that we are all subjected to. So, for Amish people today to have our voices heard is another game changer. And we're in new times now, and things aren't going to go back to the way they were in, 100 years ago. So when you factor in climate change, are the Amish going to be able to transition to, organic farming, agricultural sustainability? Are they going to be able to update their church so that, they're not as removed from the outside world? Because, it's kind of strange. Like, you're a typical Amish guy. You're living in, say, northern Indiana. You go to work every day. Your boss is, say, gay. Your coworkers are, say, gay. No big deal. And then you go back to your community and your bishop, is telling you that being gay is a sin. Being gay is sexual immorality. And it's just not working because, there's a lot of gay Amish men. And rather than take the time to understand and love and treat gay Amish with, and give them their human dignity, the Amish choose to shun you and take away your human dignity. They choose to persecute you the way that they were persecuted. So the trauma that Amish have experienced, has led to situations like this today. So, I hope you've all enjoyed my thoughts on this. There's a lot more that I can go into, and maybe I will on a later episode. But so in terms of Amish writers, authors, we need more Amish to, tell the story, to tell their stories, certainly, but to tell the stories of our Anabaptist ancestors, to tell the story of our heritage. So much has been lost. When the Amish were in Europe, the King of France wanted to, bestow an award upon them for their farming, which was considered, amazing, groundbreaking. And you look at Amish farms today, and sure, they might look nice in the touristy areas like Shipshawana or Lancaster, but you get out, you get away from the touristy areas, and a lot of Amish farms, it's very by the book. Like, it's nothing to write home about. And the Amish have lost knowledge, ancestral knowledge on farming, on agriculture. And are there written records somewhere? Does some Amish person have, papers and notebooks containing these farming methods that they once employed, or has this been lost to history? I don't know the answer to that, by the way. Hopefully someone somewhere has something preserved, but, it's an example of the Amish losing their own heritage, losing their own history. So if you're Amish, I would definitely encourage you to write a book. I would encourage you to express yourself through poetry, through an autobiography, through, writings just in general about Amish life, because our own voices need to be heard rather than, the evangelical crowd hijacking our religion and telling us about, you know, about what they would do, or having, you know, their voices represent our own. So thank you all for listening. This has kind of been rambling. Again, all of my podcasts are off the top of my head, and sometimes I have to go back and rephrase things or think about things in a certain way, but I am so incredibly appreciative of your feedback and your support and your tuning in. Amish dialogue is needed, and desperately so, and I'm so happy and grateful that we can hold space and I can contribute to dialogue for our community. So thank you again, and until next time.